This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow the Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Storming the castle with the Big Bad Morning Show.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
105.7 The Fan.
Yeah, I've said this. There's a lot of quarterbacks in the league. There's not a single quarterback that defines the city and the team like Lamar. Like, I love Mahomes, but that's as much Andy Reid as anybody.
Yeah, you couldn't make that argument, yeah.
Yeah, I would, and by the way, I love Josh Allen and Joe Burrow. I honestly feel if I would have picked a culture and a city for Lamar Jackson to play in, it would have been always overlooked, often disrespected, tough, gritty Baltimore.
That's Colin Cowherd. Kyle Van Noy, you heard him in the background. I respect what he's saying about the identity of Baltimore and Lamar Jackson, but to say that's as much Andy Reid as anybody when it comes to Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, remember the Super Bowl that Andy Reid won before Patrick Mahomes?
But yeah.
Remember that? Remember Andy Reid was chased out of Philadelphia because he didn't run the ball enough? Remember that?
But like, all right,
come on now.
I'm not trying to be a jerk about this, but what does he actually say? Like, none of it even, like, he's Baltimore because he's gritty and tough. Like, do you think people in Buffalo aren't gritty and tough, or no?
Just I think he means the overlooked part. And I don't agree with that either. He's a 2-time MVP and finished second this year.
I mean, he just says some stuff that, and tries to, like, pump this up. Like, and the way he talks, I mean, he has a great cadence of delivering stuff. I used to love listening to Colin Cowherd. I just think it's all pomp and circumstance now. It's a bunch of hot air.
Now, Lamar was overlooked in the draft. Drafted last in the first round. So, you know, overlooked in that aspect, yes. Now, not so much. Now, does a Super Bowl in Baltimore put him on a level of Cal and Ray in terms of Baltimore sports legends?
Well, I'll say this. I mean, he's already got more MVPs than those guys. Like, you know, it's...
Not than Cal.
Cal had what?
Two.
Okay, so
he's rookie of the year.
Yeah, yeah. So again, but he's so here. Let me just say this: he's 6 years into his career, and he's got two. I think so. I think it'd have to. I mean, the Cal thing's a little bit different from Aberdeen to Baltimore and spending his whole career here and breaking a record that should have never been broken and probably never will be broken again with the streak. But yeah, I think you'd put him in that same upper echelon. I don't know that Baltimore's ever had. a talent like this. And I know that sounds kind of silly, but like he is truly a one of one. There's Cal Ripken was a great shortstop and really started it for bigger guys to play that position. A-Rod gave him, like, because he played that position, that's where I wanted to play.
Right.
And I think he opened some doors for people. But I just, and Ray Lewis, John Ogden, Ed Reed could make a case of the best player at their position. I just think watching him play, he does things that I've never seen anybody do before.
I agree with you on that. He is, I like the one of one thing. He is tremendous.
Well, we always say generational talent, and it's almost like we got to come up with something that's a little bit better than that. And
one of one.
And I don't think there's anybody in the league like him.
I don't think there's ever been anybody in the league like him.
Yes.
Not just now. Well, I don't like, think there's ever been anybody.
Even when people talk about Michael Vick and what a great running quarterback he is, he had a strong arm. He was not Lamar passing the ball. He wasn't winning MVPs. He wasn't.
And to his credit, when people doubted Lamar's ability to throw the ball, Michael Vick said, I didn't throw the ball like him. Mm-mm. Michael Vick said it before we saw it happen. Michael Vick said it. I didn't throw the ball like him. He's not me. You know, Michael Vick killed that before anybody else did. And you look at Michael Vick's his career statistics, and he was right. He was a career 50. He completed 56% of his passes for his career, and his passer rating was 80. Michael Vick was not Lamar Jackson.
No.
Lamar Jackson puts up much better numbers than that. Michael, you look at Lamar Jackson for his career. He's completed 65% of his passes with a passer rating of 102. That's his career passer rating.
Yeah, look, this is when you talk about an efficiency level of what he's getting done. Remember we brought up Barry Bonds, and I said everybody talks about his 73 homer season when the next season, to me, is the most impressive when he hit, 44 bombs. But look at the limited at-bats. So he's so efficient, even when it's so easy to get out of that. Lamar is on that level of, with the low interception rate and the touchdowns that he's throwing, I would always say that you could make a case, and I'm not telling you he is, that Aaron Rodgers is the greatest quarterback to ever play the game because of his QB rating and all this other stuff. Now, obviously, that shines off of him, and people aren't going to consider that anymore. But I think when all said and done with Lamar, if he has a decent long career, I think we might be talking about him differently according to the rest of these guys and making a case that he could be one of the greatest to ever play the game, if not the greatest.
It's funny you say that because their numbers the first 7 years compare in terms of passer rating and completion percentage. Aaron Rodgers in his first 7 years as a starter, I mean in 08 when he took over as a starter, only had 2 years when he threw double-digit interceptions. Lamar Jackson, 1 year when he threw double-digit interceptions.
And Lamar was thrust. Remember, Lamar was younger than Joe Burrow when Joe Burrow got drafted after him.
Yeah.
So Lamar came in, he got an 8-game reprieve, and then came in and played the rest of the season and never looked back. With Aaron Rodgers, he sat for 2 years, 3 years? Was it three?
He sat for three.
Officially, yeah. So, and I do think there's a benefit to that, to learning the playbook and getting used to the speed of the game, playing in preseason, maybe playing infrequently here or there. But Rodgers was a talent. There's no doubt about it. And I think when you look at Lamar, you have to look at how efficient he's been in limited opportunities.
You realize the year that he was thrusted in, that he had more touchdowns and interceptions that year as well.
Who, Rodgers? Six,
no, Lamar.
Oh, yeah, with the...
At the end of the season, he had 6 touchdown passes and 3 interceptions. So he's never thrown more touchdowns than interceptions. For his career, Jeremy, 166 touchdown passes, 49 interceptions in 7 years. In 7 years. And you look at his rushing yards, and that's even crazier. He has 6,172 rushing yards and 33 more touchdowns.
Can I tell you, there's still people that don't want him and they want Joe Flacco back? You people go back to your shanties. What's wrong with you? Open your eyes and watch the game.
Those people don't drink shanties.
Oof, God.
Those people don't drink shanties.
See, this is something where it drives me nuts. Like, even looking, we can't get all these people to call back in because you know what they'd say. Flacco won a Super Bowl and Lamar hasn't. Okay, all right, whatever. I guess that makes all these guys that won. Trent Dilfer's better than Dan Marino and so on and so on. Yeah. Just shut up. You know, like we get to this point of if you can't acknowledge it, if you were wrong, it's okay to say you're wrong and admit it. I hate the people that keep doubling down, tripling down. You're like, what are you doing? Waiting for that one moment for him to screw up the one time to go to social media and say, I told you so.
My friend Mike was not a big Lamar fan maybe 3 years ago. Today you ask him, if you said some of the things that he said about Lamar 3 years ago, he might hit you. Rocco Baco joins us at 7:30, but on the other side, Brandon Hyde said he hopes Kyle Gibson can ramp it up throughout April and be ready to join a rotation in May. I don't. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 7:19 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rockabacco joins us at 7:30. John Rollo, Shogun fights this weekend. He joins us at 8 o'clock. Brandon Hyde said he hopes Kyle Gibson will ramp up throughout April with hopes of joining the rotation in May. I don't, Jeremy. Are the Orioles opening up with a five-man rotation this year? Right now.
Feels like it, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. They have a five-man rotation. So if Kyle Gibson is joining the rotation in May, it means one of two things, if not both. It means we don't know when Grayson Rodriguez is coming back still at that time. And probably someone in the rotation right now is currently either going to be injured at the time or unsuccessful. Kyle Gibson appeared in relief back in 2021. Let's see him do it in 2025. I don't want to see him in the rotation. And I like Kyle Gibson personally, but I don't want to see it.
I'm fine with him in the rotation. Again, it's a long season, and I get tired of hearing it, but I'm sure fans do as well, but he is an innings eater. I think the way it should have been worded is we hope to have him ready by May in case we need him.
That's fine.
Like, the way it sounds, it doesn't sound good on the Grayson side of things.
Or in anything.
Yeah.
We got five men now. One of them means that they're either going to be unsuccessful or injured.
Well, again,
if you want him to be ready just in case, have at it. But I don't want to see it.
I guess I'd wonder why they didn't sign him sooner if this was something that they thought was going to be an issue. But again, they don't need him until May unless there's an injury or something. And I still think you could get through, late March and April. We've normally talked about all the off days they have. Ironically, the Orioles don't have a ton of those. At the beginning of the season, they play seven games straight, right? It's because they're playing in a dome.
Yeah.
You don't need the off day in the middle of that series in case you get a rainout.
I was told it had nothing to do with Grayson Rodriguez. Believe what you want, that it was about depth. That's what I was told. And we'll see. We shall see. I have nothing against Kyle Gibson. His ERA last year was 4.24, which is respectable. That's a respectable ERA. His career ERA, is that 2 point or 4 point?
I said four point.
Okay. His career ERA is 4.52, which is not bad, not horrible.
I mean,
when he was here, it was 4.73.
He's an average pitcher, and then you put a good defense behind him, and you ask him not to do as much as he had to do in his career for other places. Like, hey, get me my five innings. If you can go six, great. If you're keeping, let's say you're getting ground balls, because he's not a big strikeout guy, so he can go deeper into the game as long as he's not walking people. Nobody wants to hear you, hey, we got Kyle Gibson at this point of his career, but I think this is a depth piece in case something else goes wrong. Let's say Cade Povich comes out and he's not pitching up to snuff. Then Kyle Gibson slides in.
I don't want to call my insurance man, my car insurance man. I don't want to have to call him.
Yeah. And I think basically that's what he is an insurance policy. We haven't seen Cade Povich pitch a full season. We didn't even expect him to be on the major league roster with what they had in store. But like you look at all, they had 10 starting pitchers at the beginning of spring training, and until the signing of Gibson, they had seven. So it's like, okay, what are you doing? Are you moving Suarez back in? Are you?
Rather see Suarez.
I wouldn't. I think Suarez is perfect where he's at. I think if you have him in that role as a bullpen piece and a long man, I think you're in a good spot.
Just Suarez.
I'm not against it. I think it makes more sense.
Eat some of my string cheese.
I don't want any of your cheese.
Come on, eat some of the string cheese. That's all.
I just think that if you're going to sit here and look at Kyle Gibson as a whole and sit and go, he sucks, he's this and that.
I don't think he sucks.
Yeah, I'm not saying you. I'm saying fan base. Like, if you think that's what's going on, like, again, it's 162 games. All the people that were sitting here, what's Dean Kramer's ERA from last year?
About the same.
Yeah. And again, younger pitcher, more strikeout, and I think has a better upside. The weird thing about Dean Kramer was he was better in the second half, much better in the second half of the year than he was in the first. So take that for what it's worth.
I won't get his numbers to be exact. Dean Kramer's ERA, 4.10. His career ERA, 4.28.
So similar.
Very similar. The year before last, he was 4.12. So he's been consistent.
I think, and this isn't me knocking Dean Kramer, because I think Dean Kramer's perfectly fine. I think you have a good pitcher in Kramer. But I'm saying adding a Kyle Gibson to help you get through the season, there's nothing wrong with what they're doing. Again, I hope we don't see him in the rotation, because that more than likely means Povich is killing it or Grayson's healthy. Mm-hmm. Right?
And I want either one. I want both. Can we have both? Can we have Povich yelling it and Grayson back?
No, it's Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews. You got to pick one.
Either or.
Yeah, either or. You can't have both.
Grayson back.
Yeah, well, that's... I hope this isn't something long-term, man. But again, it even if it's not something long-term now, it reminds me so much of what Gerrit Cole went through last year. The same type of injury, like, oh, he pitched through it, and then now we come into this season, and it's like, oh, he's out for the whole year now. And I hope that's not the case in this situation, but they're being very, they're keeping everything close to the vest, or not letting a lot of information out regarding Grayson.
So let me ask you this. If something is long-term, do you now label him?
Now?
Injury prone.
Oh, well, no. I mean, it's still early in his career because we've seen this from other players that get labeled injury prone and then have a fine career after the fact. I mean, Lamar's been injured two of his seasons, right? And had other injuries throughout the... I don't consider him injury prone. It's still very early in Grayson's career, but it's something you have to take a long look at. I mean, because I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying I think it's too early to label him that.
World of Stupid with Jeremy Gunn at 7:45, but on the other side, Rockabacco joins us. Talk some Orioles baseball. Maybe he'll weigh in on the Grayson situation. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 7:32 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Joining us right now from MassiveSports.com, courtesy of the Window Nation Guest Hotline. Scooter Rock, Rockabacco. What's going on, Rock?
Gentlemen, how you doing?
Good. Doing well, man. A little over 48 hours to the start of the 2025 season, and unfortunately for you, you got to go to Toronto. I know you're loving that.
I told Brendan Mortensen, he's like my partner now on this beat, and I was like, dude, get your passport ready, because there's another Toronto trip coming, and I ain't on it.
Listen, we know this deal with Gunnar Henderson. He's not going to be on the opening day roster. He's going to be on the IL. But we're hearing nothing. It's crickets out there about Grayson Rodriguez. What is going on?
Yeah, at this point, the hope is, and I guess he was throwing in the outfield, because guess what? I didn't go to D.C. yesterday either, and that was a veteran move because they got rained out. But he was playing long toss in the outfield, and that's the start of his progression. He had started to do that in Sarasota to play catch. And it sounds like the hope is that, you know, at some point – in May, I guess, is really what you'd be hoping for. I think it's going to take – he has to start spring training all over. I mean, we're just at the playing catch stage. So maybe you miss a month of the season, and then he's back in May. But it's a little bit vague right now. But basically, it's just like trying to project if you start spring training all over again, he's going to have to, you know, throw off a mound. He's going to have to start facing hitters, maybe some live BP. I mean, it's just starting all over, basically. So hopefully – you know, within a month or so, month maybe, you get him back and Kyle Gibson's back, and then they can make all the decisions of what they're doing with the rotation. But they feel like they got lucky. They kept stressing, not ligament. It's just, you know, back of the elbow, some inflammation. It was a cortisone injection. It wasn't a PRP, which sounds more serious. Cortisone's not as serious. So all those things put together are supposed to make us feel better about this.
Hey, Rock, one of the questions, or I guess two of the questions we had is, who's going to play short to start the season? I think it sounds like Jackson Holliday. And the other question that we were kind of talking about is who's going to lead off, and is it going to be different with lefty-righty, depending on who's on the mound?
Yeah, I mean, right now it feels like Jackson Holliday is kind of the favorite to play short, which is really interesting since they focus so hard on you're only playing second. And it's a position you're learning, and now J.J. Hardy and Brian Roberts were working with them in spring training. Roberts came up with a correction on his footwork that would make it better when he's smoother, when he's fielding the ball and feeding it to second for double plays. And all of a sudden, he's might be the everyday shortstop. I think the wild card here is Jorge Mateo. If Mateo's ready, and it went from no to pretty doubtful to now it sounds like it's more of a maybe. Mateo, I think, would be the guy that could get you some starts at short. If it isn't him, in which case I think it's Levon Soto breaking camp.
Okay.
Well, they've already broke, but he's a guy. Then I think it's more so Jackson Holliday. I think Holliday's going to get the bulk of the starts at short either way. And then as far as leadoff hitter, we saw a lot of Jordan Westberg against lefties. I think he's done it like six times in his career, so I'm starting to get the feeling that they like Jordan Westberg atop the order against left-handers. Against righties, I think we could see a lot of Colton Cowser, which is not terrible. He had a great camp. It was kind of under the radar because we had so much focus on other guys. He had an outstanding camp at the plate. and they've got him trying to run more aggressively like they are with Jackson. So it could be one of those situations where it's Kowser against right-handers, which would be opening day, and then it's Westberg against lefties, which when they play the Red Sox at home and Crochet pitches against them, we'll find out. But I think it looks like it could break down that way.
Hey, no, here with Rock Abaco, MassinSports.com, School of Rock. Rock, Jeremy and I were looking at the possibility of the lineup what we had projected, and whether we're right or wrong on that, we were looking at the guys that are in that lineup. Jordan Westberg, all-star. Adley Rutschman, all-star. Mountcastle and O'Neill have hit 30 home runs before. Kowser, you could argue, should have won the Rookie of the Year last year. Cedric Mullins, all-star. Arias, Gold Glove winner. I mean, this may be one of the more underrated lineups in the American League.
I think so, and that's one of the reasons, or a big reason why, I'm picking them with the possibility to win the division, certainly be a playoff team again. Even with some of the questions about the rotation, losing Corbin Burns, and the bullpen, whatever. I mean, this is a really, really good lineup from top to bottom. And you figure that out when you look at some of the projections. You got guys hitting seventh or eighth that you're like, man, normally they should be higher up if you could. I think it's a really good lineup.
And I mentioned Arias Gold Glove winner. What I didn't mention is 2 years ago, over 300 plate appearances, batted 260. Last year, 300 plate appearances, 250. And his OPS consistently over 700.
Yeah, I mean, he was their best hitter, and I know they had a collective slump last year, but when he sprained his ankle, at that point, he was their best hitter in the lineup. Like, he was red hot at that point. So, and you are going to get Gunnar back as in a minimum of 7 days, six games that he could miss. That may be it, because they're going to be ramping up his at-bats down in Sarasota like they are with Mateo to get him ready. So that's going to push everybody farther down the order once he's at leadoff. So I think the lineup, as long as they don't go into another one of those weird funks like they did last year in the second half, they're going to score runs. It's just a question of everything else. And I think that Adley, I'm picking him as my MVO this year, my preseason pick. I think he's going to have a big year, and we're going to forget about that second half. And, you know, Kowser should have been Rookie of the Year, you're right. Yeah. But he was very up and down, Rookie of the Month in April, and then you look at his numbers in May and June, then he was back up again. I think he's going to be a much more steady player. You're going to get a lot more at-bats out of Heston Kjerstad, and he has nothing else to prove in AAA. I think Westberg, I think, is going to take another step and might be maybe the guy who's ready to be the breakout player. So and Holiday, I think you're going to see a different guy. What we saw in spring training, it's going to be fun to watch him. This is the guy they want bunting, running aggressively on the bases, line drives. The home runs will come. The kid has power. But don't go up there just trying to hit home runs. And he's more relaxed. So I think he's going to have himself a really, really nice year. So this is a really good lineup.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. You brought up Kjerstad, and that's who I wanted to ask about, because as we were doing our opening day lineup against a right-handed pitcher, I don't think either one of us had him in the lineup. And I don't know if it's because Mountcastle's Toronto's daddy. If we see O'Hearn play more first base in that situation, does he DH? Does Tyler O'Neill sit? It's kind of hard to predict how they're going to get him in the lineup.
It is, and yet they kept vowing he's going to get a lot of at-bats. So it's got to happen. I don't think it's a strict platoon with O'Neill. Otherwise, O'Neill would be sitting for the first, five games or something. So I don't think it's going to be that, but I think they're going to finally be able to work that in. And maybe to the expense of some at-bats for O'Hearn then, that you're going to have him, if he's not in right field, he's DHing. But it is going to get crowded, and what happens, we can look ahead here, but when you have Henderson back, and what if they decide Mateo's back and they want to hold on to him, and you go back to their original projection of 7 infielders and 4 outfielders, what happens to Kjerstad? So that's going to be interesting too, and it's not that far down the road, conceivably, that you could have all these guys together. So, it's going to be interesting how they go ahead and get him the at-bats, because if they send Kjerstad back down to AAA, you know what the reaction is going to be. About, you guys talked about all the at-bats and he has nothing else to prove and this is his time. It is just a crowded roster, which goes back to our original discussion about how deep this lineup is and how good it is. But they really do want to give him more consistent at-bats. But to do that, you're going to have to sit some other guys. And I don't know whether – and with O'Neill, it benefits because he's been on the IL like 14 times in his career. It's always these little things, but it keeps him out a few weeks. But if you want to keep him healthy and in the lineup, you give him a little more rest. But then again, with O'Hearn, he's the guy that we're so used to seeing, against left-hander or right-handers. He's always in that lineup, and he may not be able to be consistently because of Kjerstad.
Rock, you and I have been around, and so has Jeremy, long enough that we were told Luis Montanez was a legit prospect, and now we can't find room for Silent J. We now have first world problems.
Hey, what was that? John Stevens was their minor league pitcher of the year,
yes,
like three times in four seasons.
Yes.
Remember that? Remember those days? Where's Yusiel Diaz when we need him? Where's that guy?
First world problems for the Baltimore Orioles. Thanks a lot, Rock, and I'll see you up in Toronto, eh?
All right, Alex Ochoa was on hold, by the way. So let's get him on too. All right, guys.
Take it easy, man. Man.
Some bad prospects.
Some bad prospects, man. Hayden Penn was traded for Robert Andino. Robert Andino did more for us than Hayden Penn.
He was the top prospect.
He was the top prospect. Oh, boy, Orioles got Robert Andino for Hayden Penn. That's a bad trade. Yeah, for the Marlins.
Good luck.
John Rollo joins us at 8 o'clock. Shogun fights this weekend, big card, huge card. But on the other side, we get stupid with Jeremy Kahn.
Yeah, and fairly clean here for some of you guys out there. We're going to talk about Tiger Woods back in love. He's dating a Trump. I want to tell you her dating history and see how weird this is. I don't know if any of you guys have seen this yet. It is insane. We're also going to talk about this stupid fitness influencer that showed you his daily routine that everybody's talking about now. If you haven't seen the video, I'll explain it.
Right.
And lastly, a passenger that I think they should put her below deck or below the plane and make her get into a suitcase after what she tried to do with one of her pets. I'll explain in the world of stupid next. All right. Let's start off with Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods, y'all. Love is in the air. And he tweeted this out. Actually, love is in the air and life is better with you by my side. We look forward to our journey through life together at this time. We'd appreciate privacy for all those close to our hearts as he is now dating Donald Trump Jr.'s ex. Now, the reason I bring this up is I thought she's had a pretty interesting dating history. Starting out in her teenage years, Vanessa dated local street gangster Valentin Rivera, member of the Latin Gangs, or Latin Kings, violent gang, Latin gang, let me tell you. The hell am I talking about? After that, after you break up with the leader of a gang, where do you go? You go to Leonardo DiCaprio, right? So she got 1998 Leo DiCaprio to date her. Then after that, from 98 to 2001, Vanessa dated Saudi prince Khalid bin Bandar bin Sultan Al Saud. I think I nailed that one.
No, we won't know. We can't correct you.
who has been linked to Al-Qaeda hijackers. On November 12th, 2005, Vanessa married Donald Trump Jr. The wedding was held at Mar-a-Lago. And Trump Jr. had proposed to her with a U.S. $100,000 ring that he received as a gift from a jeweler in exchange for proposing to her in front of the jewelry store with paparazzi outside. You went from gangster to maybe the best actor of my generation in Leo DiCaprio to a Saudi prince to Donald Trump Jr. to Tiger Woods. It's an interesting dating history, to say the least. And, you know, I think people in the news, Tiger Woods, his mom passing.
What is that, velvet?
I mean, come on. It's interesting, though, like to see that this is, and she's a beautiful girl, don't get me wrong. Her dating history, though, going back and going through some of this stuff, maybe some people don't want their dating history out there. Maybe that's what it is.
Well, if for it to be out there, I mean, she has to allow it to be out there. Tiger Woods, it's Tiger Woods funny how he wants his privacy. So you announce that you're dating her, but you want your privacy.
Yeah, I mean, stop that
Tiger. Same guy that apologized to the press for cheating on his wife.
So you have something?
Did you mention the thing about Snoop Dogg in this?
No.
He posts that picture, asked for privacy, and then Snoop, like his actual account, says, "Yo, Tiger, check your DM." And I was like, why is Snoop commenting on this?
Again, I don't know that people should be judged on their dating history, but that's a very eclectic group there, wide ranges of different things, from gangsters to you know, hijackers to maybe the best actor to maybe the best golfer. All right. Have you seen the fitness influencer stuff that's going around? It's the dude that wakes up and he's like, 3:58, wake up, 4 o'clock, puts his face in ice water. And it's like the Saratoga water that everybody's talking about now that all of a sudden everyone is buying for whatever reason. Well, this dude, Ashton Hall, he's a fitness influencer and self-styled life coach, put together this whole thing. And it is so ridiculous and corny. Like, I remember reading Mark Wahlberg's routine for the day where he plays golf for 45 minutes. I don't know if he just plays like five holes or six holes or whatever, but he's eating here, then I'm working out there, then I'm eating here, then I'm showering, then I'm reading this, and then I'm doing, like, it's laid out to where you're going, can somebody really live that structured? But this guy, what he does is he wakes up at 3:53, removes a sinus strip from his nose and mouth, mouth tape from his lips, which I've heard the mouth tape thing is a bad idea. He then brushes his teeth and rinses with bottled water, then goes outside on his balcony for a few minutes, taking in his view, stretching his body, and then comes back inside to journal and watch a motivational video. He does this every day, supposedly, a motivational video. At about 6 a.m., he dunks his head into a bowl of ice water, then gets dressed for the gym, which appears to be located in his apartment building. And by 6:30, he's on the treadmill. He powers through a run, then heads up to his roof at 7:30 for a swim and some relaxing time. You can get it. And then each time going on, like someone's making him something to eat. He's at his desk, puts his face in another thing of ice water. Now, if you can live this lifestyle, most people, and I would venture to say 99.9% of people, couldn't do this on a daily basis. Can't afford it, don't have the time, can't make it work. And this cat, who's a fitness influencer, and the best part is that now people are making fun of him by doing their own videos. Mm-hmm. Like some, I just watched a guy who's rinsing his teeth, rinsing his mouth out with Red Bull, and then he's hitting his vape pen, and then he's going to eat a sandwich, like all these ridiculous things. But this guy went out and he said, I can't believe all these people are trying to do what I'm doing. I'm an innovator here. And he got upset that people were, he didn't even realize they were mocking him. He thinks they're trying to steal his bit. No, what you're doing is ridiculous. Nobody can do this stuff. And here, Rob, I'll show you a picture of the guy and I'll kind of hit play here so you can see a little bit of his, what he's doing. So he's showing everything he does. Getting up on the balcony, doing all these push-ups. He has some girl making him food, again, with the ice bowl. Just nonstop with this stuff.
He's rinsing with bottled water?
Yes. Yes. That's what I mean. This is like, it's gone viral. And like, if you go on Twitter right now, you'll see people doing this. Just scroll down.
Yeah.
But again, I don't have a problem with someone that's trying to kind of direct where they want to go and what they want to do on a daily basis. I'm just not buying all this, and most people can't do that, so whatever. Lastly here, this stuff really pisses me off. I'm an animal lover. There was a passenger that argued that her dog could fit into its carrier before boarding a flight because they told a dog had to be in a carrier and a woman didn't have one. And she's like, no, this is his carrier, and he can fit into it. Let me show you the pictures of this woman trying to, Rob, first off, that's her dog. Does that dog fit in that thing?
No.
And you can see as I scroll down,
she's
pushing the dog's head down and trying to zip it into a piece of luggage.
That's crazy.
To which I think, put her sorry ass in a piece of luggage and then let her fly on the bottom of the plane like that. Like people like this are the worst kinds of people, man. I'm telling you, people that hurt animals and whatever. Like, I'm not
talking
about hunters.
They didn't let her do it, did they?
I don't know if they let her get on the, I can't imagine they let her get on the plane there. It said some people's hearts broke for the dog being uncomfortable. She literally folded the dog in the carrier. Poor dog. That dog didn't even want to go in there. It's no way that dog is making a full circle in that bag. Poor pup. So on and so on. It doesn't, to go back and forth a bit, each arguing their points. Meanwhile, anyone with an eyes can see that the dog is struggling to move, let alone be comfortable. The video ends there, but it seems like the employee was not having it with this woman's shenanigans. So, no, she did not let her on the flight. That's your world of stupid. But
if you
want to see the pictures of this, I mean, it's just, what a piece of garbage.
Brenda Freeze joins us at 9 o'clock, fresh off a double overtime victory over Alabama Crimson Tide. But on the other side, Shogun fights this weekend. John Rollo joins us up next on The Fan.